We are live on The Circle in downtown Indianapolis. Welcome into Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. The Pacers tipped off their post-All-Star break slate last night really late in Los Angeles. If you stayed up with us and you are up early, thank you for doing both. Indiana led by 8 after 1, by 8 after 2, by 8 after 3, but fell in L.A. unfortunately last night. A tough fourth quarter after Indiana had been really strong on the defensive end for the first three quarters. Allowed 34 in the fourth. They were outscored 34-21. The Lakers took it 105-100. So the first game out of the All-Star break does not go Indiana's direction, but they've got another chance tonight against Phoenix. It's a late tip. 10 o'clock is the tip time. We'll be with you on the Kroger pregame show at 9:30, on Fox Sports Indiana at 9:30 as well. And while Indiana may have lost last night, the most significant news that came out of it was certainly a victory. That Caris LeVert will return tonight against the Phoenix Suns. Caris LeVert, if you are a casual fan, you may remember, was the major piece that came back to Indiana in that James Harden trade. James Harden went from Houston to Brooklyn, and the Pacers and Cleveland Cavaliers got involved in that trade as well. Victor Oladipo went to Houston. Caris LeVert went to Indiana, 19-point-per-game scorer who has scored 50 in a game before, has scored 40 in a game before in his young career. And then the MRI and the testing as the trade was going through found a cancerous mass on his kidney. So he underwent an operation to remove that. It ended up being a trade that he said it last night. I don't know if it saved my life, but it definitely gave me a better chance and certainly came at a time that was very important just from LeVert from a medical standpoint. So he's been out ever since that trade happened in early January. The Pacers were 7-4 when it happened, so they certainly missed having another dynamic presence on the floor. They expect to get that tonight against the Phoenix Suns. Again, we will have coverage of Caris LeVert's return starting at 9:30 on the radio side, at 9:30 on the television side as well. And if you were with us last week, if you've been with us on our coverage, we have been telling you March is a doozy for the Pacers. And the second half slate opened up last night at Los Angeles. The Pacers are in Phoenix tonight. Phoenix is the second best team in the Western Conference right now by record. Then Indiana goes to Denver on Monday. Denver was a Western Conference finalist a year ago. They come home to host the Brooklyn Nets on Wednesday. Brooklyn is second in the conference in the East, then two straight in Miami, who of course won the East last year and represented the conference in the NBA Finals. And then they close out this brutal stretch in Milwaukee, who had the best record in the NBA last year. So it's going to certainly be a challenging stretch for Indiana, just one home game in that mix. But you can be there via visiting pacers.com/tickets. They have safe and socially distanced tickets available. The Pacers' home games this month, few and far between. They played on March 4th at home, March 17th at home. They'll also play the 24th and then the 31st at home. And then plenty more opportunities in April as that schedule lightens up a bit and certainly gets more favorable in terms of home versus road. Again, pacers.com/tickets is how you can be in the building. This is Pacers Weekly. We're presented by PetSmart. We've got a terrific show coming up for you. You will hear from Pacers head coach Nate Bjorkgren. Inside Daenerys Den, Brian Bowen. He checks in with us after a stint down in the Orlando G League restart with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. He's now back up with the Indiana Pacers. We will also hear from Eddie Gill, former Pacer and analyst. And Eddie White goes around the house, and of course, the Final Four is not only in Indiana and Indianapolis, but the entire tournament is here, and Selection Sunday is a day away, and you will want to hear who Eddie White has this week around the house. Jeremiah Johnson joins us later in the show. We would love to hear from you, too. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. 317-239-1070 is that number to call in, chat Pacers basketball with us. When we return, the head coach and the Pacers radio play-by-play announcer Nate Bjorkgren, Mark Boyle, their conversation after the break. This is Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. Let's turn the microphone over now to Mark Boyle. He's with the head coach, Nate Bjorkgren.
Thank you, Pat. The Pacers back at it after an 8-day layoff to accommodate the All-Star break. I wonder, Nate, if there's a fine line over an 8-day layoff. On the one hand, it's good to get away, rejuvenate both mentally and physically. But on the other hand, 8 days is a long time. And I suppose at least on some level, there's a risk of becoming stale or losing timing, maybe even conditioning. How do you balance that as a player?
You know, our guys, they do a good job with that stuff. You know, we talked about it the night of our last game before the break. And then I could tell they did a good job with it, you know, in practice. They know how to keep themselves in condition, in great condition to play. It's a team. We have a bunch of guys that they take care of their bodies, and they did. They appreciated the break, you know, the 1 week break. They mentally got refreshed, but at the same time, they kept their minds and their bodies ready to go.
When you got back to practice following the break, what were your priorities?
Yeah, with just one day, you know, with just one practice that every team in the league got before their first game, you have to, you know, you have to ride a fine line on a few things. Number one, you got to play some 5-on-5 because you got to get the timing and, you know, just the conditioning level and their, you know, their heart pumping and their heavy breathing going again. So that was good. We were able to do that. But at the same time, you want to, you know, get some, you got to be smart in how long you practice because, you know, there's games coming up and a lot of them. So you just have to kind of balance that. And we did a good job. The guys did a good job with that. We got a lot of shooting in, got some 5-on-0, got some defensive drill work, but we were able to play some 5-on-5 and it was good for the guys.
A particularly grueling stretch to start the second half of the season, the Lakers in Los Angeles, and then a back-to-back with the Suns in Phoenix, followed by a game in Denver, and then back home to take on Brooklyn. Now, all four of those teams will be in the playoffs, and all four have legitimate aspirations in terms of advancing once they get there. Would it be fair, Nate, to say this is probably the most challenging stretch of schedule you've faced yet?
Yeah, you know, the schedule, you know, you got to play everybody, as you know, and the schedule will come at you in different ways. And, you know, we get a chance out here to start on the road here in LA. Like I said, I like the feel of our guys in practice yesterday. They the togetherness of this team is outstanding. They're going to play hard and we're going to come out swinging here to start the second half of the season.
You have had, I think it's fair to say, good success on the road this season. You've more than held your own. Is there any particular reason that you've been better on the road than you have been at home?
No, you know, we love playing at home in front of our home fans, especially as more and more fans, you know, get to come to the arena, which is awesome. Our guys love that. I love it. Our organization loves it. But, you know, it's just one of those things, the schedule, you know, home and road, our guys are ready to go. You know, they're ready to go, whether it is a home game or a road game. So it's just kind of how the schedule's played out up to this point.
When you have a week between games, I know that you're an advocate of film study and all of the things that go into preparation. In that week, did you notice anything that jumped out at you in terms of, maybe we need to reassess this or maybe we need to introduce that? Will you be doing anything differently, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
You know, with just the one practice that we had, we will be doing a few little things different. But the biggest part is continuing to grow at what we've been doing and get better at what we've been doing. You know, the season comes at you quick. There's a lot of new things that we're doing this year. So it's just more of the fact of getting the team to continue to improve, to continue to grow and just continue to play hard.
And finally, Nate, in closing, there have been multiple reports that Caris LeVert might make his Pacer debut Saturday night in Phoenix. Can you clarify that for us?
He's getting close. Yeah, I don't want to speak out of turn, but he's getting very close to returning. His conditioning level's great. His body weight is back up to the playing weight that he wants to play at. He did practice in our 5-on-5 session, so he's in full practice, and I would expect to see him back soon.
For our fans that haven't seen him during his run in Brooklyn, can you elaborate on what they might most notice about him once he does get into the mix?
Yeah, he really is a downhill player, meaning like He attacks. He makes the right play when he gets to the paint. He can score. He does a really good job of finding the right man. He can play the one. He can play off the ball. He's very versatile. So you'll see a lot of great things from him and our team upon his return.
Pacers coach Nate Bjorkman, kind enough to spend some time with us here on Pacers Weekly. The Pacers on the road in Los Angeles Friday night, in Phoenix tonight, then Denver Monday, back home to take on Brooklyn on Wednesday. I'm Mark Boyle. Let's go back to our studio and Pat Boylan.
Mark and Nate, thank you. That interview was recorded yesterday afternoon. We have since learned and heard from Caris LeVert himself that he will make his return, his Pacers debut, tonight against the Phoenix Suns. It's another late one. We would love to have you stay up late with us. 9:30 is when the pregame shows begin on radio right here, where you're listening to Pacers Weekly and Fox Sports Indiana as well, with a tip shortly after 10 o'clock against the Phoenix Suns. You will hear Mark Boyle if you listen on the radio. You'll hear Chris Denari if you watch on television. Chris joins this show next. Inside Denari's Den is Brian Bowen, who spent some time with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants and the G League Restart, has a unique perspective on everything that went on down there. And, of course, he's now with the big club. We will hear from those two next. This is Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart, where you can order food, treats, and more online with same-day delivery, or try PetSmart's free curbside pickup. Let's now go to Chris Denari. Inside Denari's Den is Brian Bowen.
Thanks a lot, Pat, on this Saturday morning. Pacers Weekly, Inside Denari's Den, is second-year Pacers player Brian Bowen, who is now an experienced pro down in the Orlando bubble. He spent time last summer with the Pacers, and then this year just returning and rejoining the team out in Los Angeles and Phoenix for this road trip after spending time in the G League bubble in Orlando. Good morning, Brian, and talk about your experience with the Mad Ants in the G League bubble. Did it help having been there last summer with the Pacers?
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure. I feel a lot more comfortable in this one. You know, in the first bubble, there was, you know, a lot of uncertainty, you know, of how the structure was going to go, you know, the things we'll be able to do. Just a lot of uncertainty overall in general, just about the games. This time, you know, I felt more comfortable, you know, just pretty much just got used to, you know, just playing basketball and just chilling out. It was pretty much similar overall, but it was a good experience, you know, for me to go down there and play.
Well, it's been interesting for you. Your first 2 years with the Indiana Pacers franchise have been unlike any that we've ever seen. Last year, the season cut short due to the pandemic. The G League schedule was suspended. You rejoin the Pacers in the summer. And then this year, the G League opts to go to a bubble, and you play 15 regular season games. So it has not been, I'm sure, what you thought it would be. Assess how you felt you played down in Orlando with the Mad Ants.
Overall, I feel like it was solid. It was, you know, solid performances and everything, and you know, just trying to help my team get as many wins as possible. You know, just want to show, you know, my versatility on the court. You know, be able to guard multiple positions. You know, be able to play multiple positions on the offensive end as well. You know, just show, you know, passing. You know, and that, you know, I've improved a lot on the defensive end. So overall, I feel like I felt pretty good coming out of the bubble. And, you know, it's a learning experience for sure. So just trying to get better and better each day and, you know, just go from there.
You are a young player. You left high school. You were up in La Porte with La Lumiere, and you went over to Australia and played and became a pro right away. Do you look at somebody like Edmund Sumner, who it took him a couple of years in the Pacers organization, getting some experience, and now you see him in the rotation? Is that somebody that you look up to as you sort of model your career with the Pacers?
No, 100%. You know, Ed's a, you know, close friend of mine. You know, we go, you know, back to high school days, you know, with AAU and everything, you know, him being from Michigan. So, you know, being able to see, you know, how he came up through the system, and, you know, he's improved a lot. You know, now he's, like you said, he's in rotation heavily. It, you know, it gives me motivation that, you know, if I keep working, just keep going on the path and, you know, just keep focusing on the details, that, you know, the sky's the limit and, you know, your number can be called at any moment.
I want to go back to last year. Your number was called, and I'm sure you remember it, when We get word that you're in the starting lineup in Chicago, making your first NBA start. What was that moment like for you last year?
Oh, it was, you know, really a lot of ups and downs, you know, really emotional day for me. You know, just had been through a lot, you know, I still have been through a lot. And for me to, you know, be able to, you know, start an NBA game, you know, and you know, just go out there and be able to be in a position to, you know, help my team at any moment, you know, it was a huge, you know, dream come true for me. And, you know, something I've always, you know, thought about doing, something I always thought about doing as a young kid.
This has been an interesting year. Brian Bowen is our guest inside Denary's Den on Pacers Weekly. You've rejoined your team now for this West Coast trip in L.A., Phoenix, Denver, the rest of the season. Games are going to come fast and furious. What are you most wanting to learn here in the second half of the season? You might have an opportunity to play. You never know based on injuries and those kinds of things. But what do you want to accomplish individually here in the final months of the season?
You know, just lock in on the details, you know, the things that, you know, the coaches are looking for, you know, and the guys that, you know, are in rotation right now. And, you know, just staying in those guys' ears that, you know, are on the bench and on the court, just, you know, asking what I could do, you know, when I do get my position, what can I do to help the team? So really just, you know, locking in on the small details, you know, whether, you know, asking Justin things, Doug things, like you said, Ed things, you know, pretty much anybody, you know, Jeremy, just anybody I can, you know, just try to learn as much as I can. And whenever, if my number does get called, and whenever it does, you know, I just want to be ready for the opportunity when it, you know, it's called upon.
Final question for Brian Bowen, Saturday morning, Pacers Weekly, inside Denary's Den. I mentioned that these last 2 years now have been unlike any we've ever seen in sports.
Right.
What's it been like off the floor? Again, you've been in two bubbles now. You've traveled with the team. You sort of have to stay in your room, those kinds of things. What has the last 2 years been like? Because when you started a year and a half ago, if you will, almost two years ago, everything was sort of normal. What has this this last year been like?
You know, really just, you know, just trying to find, you know, sometimes, you know, things happen in basketball, you know, guys, you know, for the mental part of the game, you know, they want to get away. You know, sometimes you just go out, you know, with your friends, you go out to a restaurant, you know, just do little things like that to, you know, get away from the game. You know, right now, you know, when you just play games, you know, you go to the room and stuff. It's just, you know, trying to, you know, just build that, you know, that mental capacity up as much as you can, whether it's, you know, just reading books about certain things, you know, to keep your, you know, your brain going. Just trying to keep on a, you know, steady level throughout the whole thing. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs. You know, you're away from your family a lot, away from your friends, you know, when you go to certain cities. And, you know, it's just really just at the end of the day, it just all comes down to a mental thing. You know, it's more than physical with the basketball part, but, you know, the off the court part is really just trying to just stay as steady as you can. And, you know, just be ready for your moment.
I sort of lied here, Brian. One final question. What's your conversation been like with Cassius Stanley in regards to the dunk contest? Because I think all Pacers fans know that he sort of got robbed. I think nobody thought that first dunk should have scored what it was.
No, 100%. You know, he was just saying, too, even the guys that were there, they're like, they can't believe that was the lowest score of the dunk contest. If anything, it should have been the highest. But, you know, he said, you know, it's a learning experience, obviously, and, you know, he enjoyed the moment. And, you know, the dunks that he's doing, you know, we saw a lot in the bubble, you know what I'm saying, just in practice and stuff, just easy stuff like that. You know, he does that in his sleep, you know, that's what he does. You know, he just jumps through the roof. But, you know, talking to him, you know, he said it was a great experience and everything. And he definitely wished the outcome was different. But, you know, I know when his name gets called again for that, you know, the opportunity in the dunk contest, he's going to show out and prove for sure.
Brian Bowen, our guest inside Denary's Den on this Saturday morning. Thanks so much. Best of luck the rest of the way, and be safe on the trip.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Brian Bowen with us. Back to you, Pat.
Chris and Brian, thank you. It is an extremely busy week, what will be an unbelievably busy and important month of basketball around the city of Indianapolis, the state of Indiana. The Pacers tonight are in Phoenix. They're taking on the Suns, 9:30 on the radio and television pregame show coverage. That's not the only thing happening at Bankers Life Fieldhouse today. The Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament concludes. Maryland and Iowa with a championship game at 2 o'clock. The men's tournament is in Indianapolis, and of course, Bankers. The whole NCAA tournament is going to be here, including the Final Four. Bankers Life Fieldhouse will have plenty of action in the tournament as well, with opening weekend games. The Sweet 16 also going to be a very busy week and then month of basketball here in the city and the state. A little bit later in this show, Eddie White, you'll want to hear who he has tracked down around the house, because it has some ties to the tournament and the Final Four here in Indianapolis. But when we return, we welcome Mark Boyle back. He's with Eddie Gill, former Pacer, current analyst on TV and radio, chimes in on where the Pacers stand at this point in the season. This is Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. We're live on The Circle in downtown Indianapolis. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us. I'm Pat Boylan. This is Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. Want to give another shout out for the second straight weekend here to those helping, volunteering to make this city beautiful for March Madness. As you walk in to the studio this morning, you see dozens of volunteers scattered around the city helping clean up Indianapolis for the big couple of weeks coming up. It's a big couple weeks for the Pacers for many reasons. They'll get Caris LeVert coming back starting tonight at Phoenix, and hopefully add another dynamic piece that the Pacers have been needing ever since that Victor Oladipo trade. The Pacers have lost 6 of 7. You heard from Mark Boyle earlier, but we almost always hear from him twice during this show. This time he's with former Pacer, current analyst Eddie Gill.
Thank you, Pat. The second half of the season underway. It started last night in Los Angeles, and the Pacers have struggled lately. They're under 500, but still very much in the chase for a playoff spot. Caris LeVert is coming back very soon, probably tonight, and so things are looking up in that regard. How would you evaluate the Pacers' chances of A, making the playoffs, Eddie, and B, possibly challenging for something than merely making it?
I think very solid chances to making the playoffs. I think it would be an incredibly disappointing season for sure if this team didn't make the playoffs. I don't think that we've hit that position yet. Having said that, they do have to play more consistent basketball moving forward to your point, try to potentially get up into that top four. I mean, that's obviously I think that would be a realistic goal with this team. You brought back the majority of the team that you had last year and did a solid job. So just shoring up the defensive end of the floor, rebounding, some of those statistical categories that have been hampering this team over the last couple seasons. And then obviously I think they really got to do a better job of taking care of the basketball. That's kind of slipped a little bit as well. But more than anything, defend and continue to keep the pace moving. Anytime this offense gets stagnant, defense sets on them, it's much more difficult to score.
The return of Caris LeVert is imminent. We know he can score. He had a 50-point game last year, a 40-point game this year, and was averaging 18 points a game on a team loaded with talent. So he can obviously score. What is his value beyond that?
I think the thing you really get is another guy who can make a play out there. A lot of the weight has been put on Malcolm Brogdon's shoulders, especially late in games where he's asked to close games out and score the basketball or make plays for teammates. He has done a great job of that. But when you do have another guy who is just as capable of making plays throughout the entire game, it really lightens the load for Malcolm and Domantas Sabonis, those guys who you've really gone through to facilitate a lot of offense. So I think just the intangibles of having a playmaker out there go well beyond what you'll see or what you've seen up to this point.
Later on, the schedule gets noticeably easier, but for now it's exceptionally challenging. This road trip starts last night in Los Angeles. You've got Phoenix and Denver, then you come home to play Brooklyn. Those are all teams with serious playoff aspirations. Would you say it's fair to say that is, to this point anyway, the most demanding stretch of schedule we've seen?
Yeah, I would agree. They're going to go through the gauntlet here in this first bit of March here, or excuse me, middle of March. But to your point, you mentioned, you know, as the schedule tends to quote unquote lighten up down the road, you got to buckle down and take care of your business, because any game on any single night in the NBA, you can win or lose. So I think the Pacers have to just work on themselves, continue to come out with great focus, and not think that the mountain is too tall to climb. And then also, as you go against these quote unquote lighter teams, don't take them for granted, because they can win those games as well.
That's Eddie Gill. You can hear him on our broadcast periodically. He's an occasional guest here on Pacers Weekly, and he's a nightly visitor to Pacers television with our friends over at Fox. So he's around. You'll find him.
I'm Mark Boyle. Let's go back to Pat.
Mark and Eddie, thank you. We're going to take a short break, but when we return, we'll go around the house with Eddie White. We'll see who he has tracked down. It is a major player as it relates to the tournament coming to Indianapolis, the Final Four, which was already scheduled here. A nice interview with Eddie White coming up next on Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. You're listening to Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. We'll hear from Jeremiah Johnson a little bit later in this show. Would love to hear from you, too. 317-239-1070 is the number to call in. Talk Pacers basketball with us at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter if you have any questions or comments. Glenn Richardson chiming in saying, yeah, I was up till a minute to go in the game, but knew I was getting up early to see the Big Ten women's title game in a few hours. It's going on at 2 o'clock at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and then, of course, the Pacers will tip back off tonight with coverage starting on radio and on television at 9:30. The entire NCAA tournament is here. It's never been done before, but there's no city better equipped to host it. Let's turn it over now as we go around the house with Eddie White.
Thanks, Pat. It is once again time to go around the house. Now, friends, you had to have been on Mars, which I guess you can now go to Mars. I guess it's easy. I think Boyle's going next week. But you have to be on Mars to not know what's going on. That the basketball world has collectively turned to the great state of Indiana and central Indiana and specifically because we know what's going on. March Madness, the Big Ten, the high school, the Pacers, everything going on. And the one guy that I wanted to talk to about this, he's really the guy in the middle of this thing. He's the president of the Indiana Sports Corporation, the great Ryan Vaughn. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
No, I had to thank you because I know you haven't slept and you won't sleep for another month, but I want to get you on because I know and I want our listeners to know how important it is that Sports Corp, the role that you guys played, this doesn't happen if there's not an Indiana Sports Corp.
Yeah, that's true, and kudos to the people that founded the Sports Corp 40 years ago and the community that supported it the entire time across multiple administrations of governors and mayors and civic leaders, and it's kind of who we are. It's our brand. It's our identity as a city, sports.
You know, I always tell people, they ask me, I'll travel. I used to travel Reebok all over the country. People ask about Sports Corp. I said, let me put it this way. This organization has honored Father Theodore Hesburgh and Arnold Palmer. Two of the greatest Americans we ever had. One was a golfer. The other guy ran a university. They honored him with the Youth Links Pathfinder stuff. That sums up what Sports Corp has done so much for so many years here. But this, I mean, you talk about you already have this impressive resume. This is one that nobody has this on a resume. Were you out of your mind when you guys thought, hey, let's bring the whole tournament, all the games, right here to Indiana?
Yeah, I think the cool part is no one has it on their resume and likely no one ever will again, right? It's really a once-in-a-lifetime moment. But, you know, with the NCAA in our backyard and the Final Four having already been awarded to Indianapolis, it was really important for us as an organization, as a community, to be the best friend we could to college basketball. How do we get it started? How do we help partner with the NCAA and develop a game plan for success? I mean, heartbreaking last year to see Big Ten men's canceled, you know, after one game. All those kids that have probably worked their entire lives to play in the big dance, seniors graduating, not coming back. So you really just want to create that special, you know, once-in-a-lifetime moment for those kids.
You're an outstanding collegiate athlete, so you know that there are pieces of a puzzle you need for a team to win, regardless, whether it's swimming, golf, basketball, whatever. To me, the two of the greatest components to make us different than everybody else is, one, the downtown. We're all here together. And then this may be more important than the locale, the volunteers. The people, the Hoosiers that come together. I've said it a million times to people, friends of mine not from Indiana, Republicans and Democrats locked together, people from the suburbs and the inner city locked together to come together. It makes us special.
Yeah, it definitely sets us apart from our competition across the country. And this has been such a tough and sort of unique volunteer moment. You know, normally we would reach out to people in our community months in advance with, you know, lots of communication, training, you know, back and forth. There's an amazing story here, Eddie. Like on Monday of this week, we posted nearly 5,000 volunteer shifts that should start next week, right? This coming in a few days, and we're 98% full, right? I mean, that speaks incredible volumes to just the enthusiasm around the event, but just the great volunteer spirit, Hoosier hospitality that exists here. I honestly believe this, and I'm not sort of trying to put down our competition, but there's no other community in the country that could fill those roles that quickly.
You may not know this, but I, in my crazy life, have worked 26 Super Bowls, and The most beautiful setting was Pasadena. It was just Pasadena's just, we all agree to that. But the best Super Bowl was here in Indianapolis, and it was because of the people. And when you talk to the people, you know, the John Claytons, people who worked 40 Super Bowls or been to 40, they said this was the best place. It's something, what's a great thing about it is nobody takes it for granted around here. I mean, you guys are busting your chops to make sure that this thing is the best NCAA tournament ever. You don't take for granted. It's like what happened in the past was past. Hey, it's about what's our chore today, and it's this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, Hoosier humility is real, right? I mean, every opportunity we have, and candidly, especially for our friends that in our backyard, the NCAA, they're great to us. Not only are they great to us around men's and women's basketball, but we host a variety of their championships. And so, you know, it's very important that they feel the full love every time any event comes to town. And it's good for our reputation, too. I mean, we want everyone to know we take everything serious.
One last thing before we go. I always point this out. I have put on our post game show, and I did last night after the game. Well, it was early this morning because we're playing the West Coast. The Pacers. You talk about stepping up. The Pacers are playing four home games this month. Four. Three on a Wednesday, one on a Thursday. It's the Pacers. And, you know, give Kevin Pritchard credit. I mean, because basketball had to say, you know what? That's just another example of anyone in this city does what they have to do for the betterment of all and for the city and the state.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were going when you talked about what makes a successful team. And it's trust and relationships and commitment to one another. And this community has that in spades with our professional organizations, our venues, our hotels, organizations like ours. We've all been committed, working together side by side for 40 plus years to make this strategy special and important in Indy. And everyone continues to do it, even making great sacrifices like you just mentioned.
And if we don't mention this guy's name, he'll kill us. The great Rick Fuson. He's our president. He's now what? He's like your chairman of the board?
Yeah, he's our chairman. And I joke with him all the time, like, God had a plan here, right? Because to have somebody like Rick who leads the Pacers, who understands this industry, been in it, you know, 40 years himself, tremendous relationships at the NCAA, and has an ability to sort of see around the corner when it comes to problems that may pop up on events. Great to have him, you know, leading the board at this time for our organization as well.
Well, we've seen it up close the last year. His leadership with Pacers Sports Entertainment has been unbelievable. I mean, he had, you know, they're born leaders. He's one of them. He has been remarkable. And you, sir, have also been remarkable. It's, you know, just think, if you'd gone to DePaul instead of Wabash, you would have been really, really good. Now you're just kind of, no, I'm kidding. Hey, congratulations. I know you got a lot of work the next month, and we're all pulling for you. We're all in this together, and we're so proud of you and proud of Sports Corp for everything you guys have done to make where we live just a little bit better.
Yeah, thank you. And it really is a community effort. And I just want, you know, you and your listeners to know we feel that support. So, you know, the outreach from the community, the signing up for the volunteers and the, you know, midnight phone calls. Hey, can I do anything to help? That means a lot to us. And so we appreciate it.
How about that, Patrick? Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. Patrick, how about that? I still can't believe it. March Madness. I mean, we've been watching it forever. The whole tournament, every single game is coming right here to the great state of Indiana. I've seen it on a T-shirt. I've seen it on a bumper sticker, but man, is it true. In 49 states, it's just basketball. But friends, this is Indiana. Back to you, Patrick.
Eddie and Ryan, thank you. And you have to really give Eddie credit, because this is my seventh year doing this show, and every time we've got a big event in town, Eddie finds a terrific interview for us that was extremely insightful. And I think it's safe to say, if you can be confident about anything, it's that the city and the state of Indianapolis and Indiana are going to nail this opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, as Ryan said. It's never been done before, very likely won't happen again, or at least, fingers crossed, we hope won't happen again, but an extremely unique opportunity to show off the city and the state. And you know that he and his team and the entire NCAA, the city, the volunteers, the state are going to absolutely nail this. Oh, and by the way, we will have NBA basketball going on during that same period, and not just NBA basketball, but an extremely condensed March schedule that oftentimes games will be going on, road broadcasts will be going on, while NCAA tournament games are going on inside Bankers Live Fieldhouse. It's going to be a whirlwind few weeks, but if you love basketball, there's no better place to be than the city of Indianapolis and or the state of Indiana. So Eddie and Ryan, thank you. This is Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. We continue after the break. You're listening to Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. Caris LeVert makes his Indiana Pacers debut tonight at Phoenix. You can catch that coverage at 9:30 on radio and on television, Fox Sports Indiana, where you're listening here to Pacers Weekly on the radio side. You can also read about Caris LeVert's return and his debut to the Pacers at Pacers.com. Weed Hodgkiss has a story up there about the LeVert debut. He was made available to the media late last night after that game against the Lakers. So if you are gearing up for what will certainly be one of the more exciting moments of the regular season, make sure to head on over to Pacers.com for more information. The Pacers are in the midst of a stretch of 6 of 7 on the road, and all of their opponents are certainly very challenging. Tonight at Phoenix, on Monday at Denver, that's a 9 o'clock tip, so a little bit earlier. You'll have to save just a little bit less late to join us, 8:30, of course, on the pregame show coverage on TV and on radio. Then on Wednesday, you can be in the building, Pacers.com/tickets, Pacers and Nets. That's a 7 o'clock tip because the Pacers will then head back to the road for 3 straight. They've got another home-and-home series, or I guess 2 straight games on the road, a series coming up at Miami starting on Friday the 19th and Sunday the 21st. And then close out that stretch on Monday, March the 22nd at the Milwaukee Bucks at 9 o'clock. And then things ease up just a little bit, but this is easily the most brutal stretch of games for the Pacers. They fell to the Lakers on Friday night. Make sure you are updating your Pacers look. The 2020-2021 Earned Edition uniforms are out. That's as of just a couple of days ago. They are the gold jerseys with blue trim and kind of the sidewinding pinstripes that go down from the top right portion of the jersey to the bottom left. You can get those Earned Edition jerseys, be one of the very first to have them. Visit PacersTeamStore.com for more information. They have nightly game night specials. They'll have one tonight. And as always, they provide free ground shipping when you spend $30 or more. PacersTeamStore.com or in person inside Bankers Life Fieldhouse. We're not yet done with Pacers Weekly. When we return, Jeremiah Johnson, Pacers TV host and sideline reporter, joins us live. This is Pacers Weekly, and it's presented by PetSmart. We are wrapping up Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart, here on this Saturday morning. If you missed any of the show, you can catch it in its podcast form. Just search Pacer Sound wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all of the others. That's also where the Sideline Guys podcast goes. It's Jeremiah Johnson and me nearly every single Wednesday during the season. He joins us now. JJ, I hope you had a nice, relaxing, safe, enjoyable All-Star break.
It was good. I think it wasn't as we discussed, it wasn't as needed for me personally as many of the other seasons when I'm not traveling. I wasn't just really in need of that break, so I was glad to get the Pacers back in action last night. These 10:30, 10 o'clock starts, they're a little more challenging, but we'll see what happens tonight. Looking forward to seeing Indiana and Phoenix.
Did you bring the Keurigan with you again?
I did not, and you know what happened? After I did my pregame show, I have about 10 minutes before the game starts, and I walked to CVS because I thought I needed a little caffeine, and I didn't realize, well, it's after 10 o'clock, and they're not actually not open, and nothing was open. So I didn't get a Coke that I was looking for. I just was chugging that Connecticut water.
Hey, that's not a bad alternative. I know Chris Denari certainly will attest to that. All right, let's bury the lead no longer. Pacers and Phoenix Suns tonight, and we heard as part of the Fox Sports Indiana postgame show, Caris LeVert confirmed his appearance. You know, there's a lot we don't know that we would know a lot more in a normal year. We haven't got to be there to see him practice. We don't really have an idea exactly if there's a minutes restriction, exactly how he's looking. Do you have any initial expectations for him?
Well, I think that the one thing we have to do is probably temper the expectations just a little bit, because there's so much anticipation for what he can do, how he can sort of help complete this team. And you have to remember, he hasn't played for 2 months, and he's also had that surgery. So I was really watching yesterday. One of our cameras caught him doing his pregame workout at Staples Center, and I thought he looked really good. I thought that Nate Bjorkman's comments were accurate and that he's really put on the weight, but put on the muscle that he had lost from being away and having that surgery. So in general, I just think go back to last night's game. The fourth quarter, the offense really bogged down, and we've seen at different times this season, the Pacers have these quarters where they're just unable to generate anything offensively. I kind of think Caris LeVert will solve that problem. And then defensively, he has that length and athleticism that he can kind of fly all over the court and play the way that Nate Bjorkman likes. So it's probably a little bit early to say he will be a perfect fit and exactly what this team needs. It doesn't mean that he instantly goes on the court and the Pacers win their next five games, but they are going to get something they just don't have right now once he starts playing.
Yeah, and I think tempering expectations is important. Let's not forget everything that Caris LeVert has been through, not just physically but mentally, everything that what he went through involves, and then what joining a team midseason is like in a pandemic. I mean, the guy's got a lot of challenges to overcome, and this is going to just be game one. We've talked about this a little more at length on the podcast, and you discussed it a little bit. I think the fourth quarters are probably a key area to watch once he gets up into full swing. But I've actually been just as interested hearing from Domantas Sabonis and give his perspective, because he feels like Domantas does, that LeVert is going to open up a lot of things for him, that perhaps life has just been a little more difficult than he and Malcolm Brogdon and company would like it to be. Do you see that as long as things work out for LeVert, perhaps being the biggest benefactor for the Pacers, maybe not even his own scoring, but what he can open back up for Brogdon and Sabonis?
I think so, and I think Caris LeVert will really benefit from playing with a passing big man like Domantas Sabonis. So we know the defense is there, kind of targeting their defense to try to take Sabonis away. They know he often initiates that offense. Well, I don't think you have to do that as often when Caris LeVert is on the court. And the other thing that I think is he maybe makes things a little bit easier, takes a little pressure off of guys like Justin Holiday and Doug McDermott. Eventually, we don't know if it's going to be tonight or later this week, but you would think Caris LeVert would be in the starting lineup. So one of those two players would move to an off-the-bench role. And I think that does make things just a little bit easier. I want to make sure that McDermott and Sabonis can continue to play together, but I do think it will be very important early on to see Sabonis and Caris LeVert develop a little bit of chemistry, because how the Pacers, you know, key players play alongside Domantas Sabonis, I think, is really important, because you can get 4 to 6 easy points if you're just cutting to the basket at the right time when Sabonis has the ball. And so I look forward to seeing that relationship blossom starting tonight.
Jeremiah Johnson is with us. You can catch him tonight on Fox Sports Indiana starting at 9:30 with Eddie Gill for Pacers Live pregame. Let's quickly look at Phoenix here, because I think if you were perhaps a casual NBA fan, Phoenix might be the biggest surprise if you were to look at the standings. They're 25-11. The Chris Paul offseason acquisition was certainly flashy, but they are living up to expectations and far more.
They were maybe the most entertaining team in the bubble. They were the team that I wanted to see get that opportunity in the play-in game. It was tough. They did everything that was asked of them. They won all 8 games, and they finished, I think, a half game or a game out of that play-in opportunity. I didn't expect this. I thought they would be 7th or 8th, and I think that was a feeling around the NBA. To see them solidly in the top four, where in the Western Conference, there's a little separation from the top four to teams 5 through 8, 9 or 10, they're going to be a team that's home court advantage in the first round. And let that sink in. They've kind of been the laughingstock of the Western Conference for the last, you know, 5 to 6, 7 years. And so I think you have to give Chris Paul a lot of credit. Their coaching staff has done a fantastic job, and they've been able to carry on the momentum. Maybe the quick turnaround from the season ending in Orlando for them and then starting up again made it to where it was just one big season. And so they certainly have done everything you could ask for. I still, though, don't think you go into Phoenix thinking, even though they're the second best record in the Western Conference, that you can't win this game. So with the added enthusiasm and energy that Caris LeVert should bring the Pacers, even though it is the second half of the back-to-back, I think Indiana plays with a sense of urgency tonight. I'm really looking forward to this matchup.
Yeah, I think one thing that made last night so frustrating is for most of that game, you saw a lot of the things you wanted to improve, improved. And then unfortunately in the fourth quarter, that big run came to hurt Indiana again. We've got about a minute left here. I know these pregame shows can be a little bit more challenging when you're not on the road and when the Pacers are on a back-to-back, but you've got a pretty big storyline, I would guess, that you'll be following throughout the pregame show tonight.
Yeah, this is one of those shows that it writes itself. We see Caris LeVert in a Pacers uniform. We've all been waiting for this. We've been all cheering for him. We've been getting to know him just a little bit through these Zoom sessions. And I will say, I was, you know, even though it was late and it was a tough loss, I was really interested to hear what he had to say last night after that game and his thoughts on playing tonight. So we will, of course, replay some of those comments and kind of break down with Eddie Gill how he fits with the Pacers offensively, defensively. There's a lot to talk about. It is just the halfway point of the season officially. They've played 36 of 72. So I know fans are frustrated, and 16 and 20 is not the record that anybody wants to have right now. But if you can have Caris LeVert healthy and strong the rest of the way, you still have half the season yet to play. And so there's no reason why it can't start in a bit with a bang tonight in Phoenix.
And we will see you at 9:30 tonight on Fox Sports Indiana with Eddie Gill, Jeremiah Johnson. Thank you.
All right, Pat. See you tonight.
9:30 tonight on the television coverage, Fox Sports Indiana, on our radio coverage as well, right here where you are listening to Pacers Weekly. Pacers and Suns will tip off shortly after 10 o'clock. They'll then conclude the road trip in Denver on Monday. This concludes Pacers Weekly. Thanks to our producer, Eddie Garrison. I'm Pat Boylan. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning.